Okay, I'm going to read from Ephesians, and it's chapter 3, verse 14. And the subject is roots, okay? And what I love about this subject is this, that, and I hope it's going to go with you through the week, because you will go outside and you will see grass and you will see trees and you will see plants. And when you see them, I want you to think about the roots. And that hopefully will bring back to you some of the things I'm going to say this morning. And if you think about it, you know, you're going to eat vegetables at some time. I mean, even Chris is going to eat vegetables at some time, aren't you, Chris? It's going to happen, you know. And those vegetables come from plants, and those plants have got roots. Okay, then I'm going to read from Ephesians. I love this passage. I love it. And for this reason, starting at verse 14, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Isn't that brilliant? I just think that's fantastic. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, and I can imagine a lot, I tell you, I've got a good imagination. God can do more than that, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Rooted and established in love. That's what we have to be. But what a passage, eh? Isn't that amazing? And then, because Paul really means this, he also has a short bit in Colossians. And I'll read this. It's Colossians 2, verse 6. And I'm sure if you're on the if you're on the kind of whatever you have, Facebook or whatever, you'll get all the notes, the app, or I don't know. I'm not tech or anything like that. But you'll get these verses. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him. Paul means this, you know? Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Rooted and built up in him. And why do we need to be rooted? How important is it to be rooted? I'm going to show you how important it is to be rooted, okay? I've got here 3 tomato plants, okay? These two, I'll talk more about this one later, but this one looks pretty sad, okay? The reason this one looks pretty sad is simple. These two are rooted, but this one isn't. And if you're not rooted, there's a danger you're going to die, okay? You need to be rooted to live in Christ. What is rooted where? What do you mean by rooted, Bob? Being rooted and established in love. is what it says in Ephesians. And that love is the love of Christ. That is the same, almost the same, being rooted and established in Jesus. We need to get that relationship with him and to be rooted in him. And in Colossians, it says rooted and built up in him. This is the life of a Christian, and it comes from being rooted in Christ, being your whole being fixed in him. That tree would not grow without its roots. And if its roots were very shallow and there was a high wind, that tree would blow over. The better its roots, the stronger it is. So when you go outside and you see the grass and you see the trees and you see everything, remember, I need to be rooted as well. And I need to be rooted in Jesus. He is the one. And how do we get this? We need to develop our relationship with Christ Jesus. In Colossians, it says to live in him. And in Ephesians, it says that Christ may dwell in you, in your hearts. So you're living in Jesus, but he's living in you. How does that work? I'm going to show you a kind of demonstration of that, okay? I'll have to put this down for a minute because I need two hands. Yeah, I like this. He's going to hold it for me.
Servant-hearted, all right?
Okay. I'm going to put the glass in the water, okay? The glass goes in the water. So, the glass is in the water, but the water is in the glass. Because when you're immersed in Jesus, you are in him and he is in you. Can you see?
Well done.
Yeah, you can go now. Go now. You held it quite well. Shook a bit, but it's all right. That's what we need. We need to be immersed in Jesus and for him to fill us. You can see it, can't you? It works. And we need to develop this relationship. And it says in Ephesians, to grasp how wide, I love this, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. That's a lot of love to go around, isn't it? That's a lot of love to get to know. And it says to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Do you know what? I've got a lot of books. Elaine complains that I've got a lot of books. I have got a lot of books. And there's a lot of knowledge in those books. But when I go to the local library, it's nothing. And if you go to the British Library, the local library is nothing. All that knowledge, masses of it. But God's love is bigger than any of it. There is not enough knowledge in the world to outdo God's love. And we've got our life to learn more about that love. And in the end, if we are in Christ, we've got eternity to learn more about that love. Isn't that amazing? And that's what we're to do. We're to grasp it, Paul says. Grasp how amazing God's love is. And that's what we've got. And you see, God meets us wherever we are, but he doesn't want us to stay wherever we are. He wants in that relationship to take us places and for us to live in him and learn more about him. Yeah, in a way, becoming a Christian and being a Christian, it's a bit like a wedding and a marriage. Do you know what? You can buy an amazing wedding. You've got lots of money. Some of these film stars and pop stars have these crazy weddings. I remember the Beckham wedding I heard about years ago. Was massive, and it cost an insane amount of money, and it was, all sorts of things. You can buy an amazing wedding. You cannot buy an amazing marriage. You have to work at it, and it takes time, and you develop it. That's the difference. Coming to Jesus, he loves to receive you. He wants you, but he wants you to carry on learning about things. It's a bit like when Elaine and I got married, and then I lived with her, and she obviously lived with me, and I learned lots of things about Elaine, and I love her more than ever. Of course, the flip side is that she learned more about me. Yeah, she's still. Amazing, huh? But that's it. As a relationship goes along, you learn more about that person. And we have that relationship as we immerse ourselves in Jesus and we allow him to fill us. We learn more and more and more about it. We develop that relationship and we find about that love and how big it is. We become built up in him and strengthened. But there are some things as well that help us in this relationship. And it says, and it's like the soil, really, that you put into, you know, that you plant things in and the roots go into. And one of them, it says in Colossians, is thankfulness and praise. Live a life of thankfulness. I had a friend who... He was a bit serious sometimes about knowing Jesus. I don't know. He really did practice the presence of God. And I knew him at college, and there'd be a long walk. I had a room in his house, his dad's house. And my college was in the middle of a country park, and his house was outside the country park. There was a huge, great driveway that went up to it, about a mile long. So we walk up here, and we're walking up, and he'd turn around to me and say, okay, what are five things to be thankful for today? What are five things that you can say thank you to God for today? I told you he was serious, wasn't I? Imagine someone saying that to you, but it's right, isn't it? There is so much to be thankful for. It's easy to say, oh, I didn't get that, and I didn't, you know, we didn't beat Crystal Palace yesterday, and stuff like that. We'll talk about that later. But there's so much to be thankful for, and so much to praise God for. And we've sung about it this morning, haven't we? And we need to practice thankfulness. And that'll help us develop as well. Trust. Oh, trust is so important. I'm going to read. Elaine pointed this passage out to me as I told her about what I wanted to speak about. And it's in Jeremiah, and it's Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. And this is a way of growing in God. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Not relying on yourself, you see. Trusting in God, putting your confidence in him, even when it's you think, oh, I don't know if I can do that, or I don't know if that'll work, or things aren't good, they're not going. Put your confidence and trust in God. And this is what it says. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Isn't that great? You put your confidence in God, and, you know, bad things happen. But it not only helps you to survive, it says here, not only do you survive and still have green leaves, but you bear fruit. You carry on bearing fruit through the hard times because your trust and confidence is in God. That's amazing, isn't it? I really love that. And then there's prayer. So we have thankfulness and trust, prayer. Not just the prayers that you pray, but the prayers that people pray for you as well. I love it when I know that someone's prayed for me. Paul was praying for the Ephesians. That bit I read was his prayer. What a prayer. You can see what he wanted for them. Did he ask at any point that they should have loads of stuff? It's interesting. It's what Jamie was saying. If you look at Paul's prayers throughout his letters, he hardly ever prays that people have stuff. He prays about them growing in Jesus. He prays about the eternal life they're going to get. He prays about their joy. He prays about the work they're doing. That's what he does. And we need people praying that for us. And we need to pray it for other people. Because when we do that, we are linking up with God's resources. Remember what I read? He's got glorious riches. And we can draw on those glorious riches when we're living in him and we're praying. Praying is a way of getting into that. And Paul, by his prayer, encourages as well. See, we need each other. We need to meet up. It says in Colossians, as it uses the phrase, as you were taught. In other words, someone else was teaching the Colossians, or the Colossians were teaching each other. We need each other. And that's part of what helps us to grow. We need each other to share and teach each other. There's so much. And as I say, Elaine showed me that passage. She said, that's you're doing about rooted. That's a good one. I needed that because I'd forgotten about that. We need each other. And then reading the Bible. That passage I just read, the Ephesians passage, the passage from Jeremiah, the passage from Colossians, they're just three little bits. That's nothing to what's in this book. It's amazing. There is so much that will help you to grow and to find how big the love of God is. Now I'm going to... No, I was going to give a couple of warning bits there. I'm not. I'm going to do this bit next. You see, back here, see, this is going to give tomatoes, right? It's rooted. It's going to give tomatoes. It even got some flowers. That made you jealous, didn't it, Em? Yeah, it made her jazz. Hers haven't got flowers yet. Just saying. These have got flowers as well. But these won't give tomatoes. They're well-rooted, but they're going to give strawberries, I hope. I love you, Oscar. Yes, it's all right, mate. You have to live with her. Yeah. Yeah, tomatoes, strawberries. I've got an apple tree as well, a little apple tree. It's not a big apple tree, and it gives apples, okay? You know, it'd be amazing if it did, wouldn't it? But that's the point I'm going to make, actually. You know, we have the capacity to have fruit. There's the fruit of the Spirit that Dave talked about a couple of weeks ago, kindness, love, faithfulness, patience, all those things which are characteristics of a single fruit. That's the fruit of the Spirit, which is your character. But there's also another fruit that we're asked to bear, which is the fruit, if you like, that comes out of our personalities, the stuff that we're good at. Maybe it's, I'm no good at music, but we've got musicians, we've got people on tech, we've got people who put the chairs out. There's that gift of help. You know, if there's something that I'm not quite sure about in the house, I can often ask something to Paul, and Paul will have an idea about what you can do with it. Sometimes someone will say to you, I need this, and you have the capacity to give it to them. Maybe even a strawberry plant. You never know. If you're nice. Whoa, work on that. but we can all bear different fruit. We all have different talents. We all have something to give. Encouragement. You know, sharing things sometimes, you know, comfort. The gift of comforting people. Oh, we need that, don't we? And just being there for people. And maybe sometimes it's giving to people. Maybe it's physically going and helping somebody. There are all sorts of things that we do which are bearing fruit, and they're different. But all of these different things, whether it's an apple tree, whether it's a tomato plant, whether it's a strawberry, they'll only grow that fruit if it's rooted. Otherwise, it dies, and it doesn't bear any fruit. This will never bear fruit. End of. Never. Because it's got no roots. But isn't it great that each one of us can, if we're immersed in Jesus, we can all bear fruit and bless each other. Yeah, I love that. Now, a couple of warnings here. A couple of things. First of all, can I have that picture, please? Ha, this has got the weird name of Dodder. Anyone here heard of Dodder before? Lane has, of course she has. Married to me, what do you expect? Yeah. Dodder, it's a plant, right? It's a wild plant, and it's a parasite. It's a parasite. It lives off its host tree. In some parts of the world, in America, it's a real pest in orchards and stuff like that. It sucks the life out of other things. Do you know what? We need to have our own roots. It's not enough to just come to church and feed off other people. We need to read the Bible. We need to pray. We need to move to learn and develop. We can't expect everyone else to do it for us, or we won't really grow. Dodder's a really boring plant in many ways, weird but boring, and it doesn't add anything to the trees that it grows on. Whereas if you've got roots, then you add something to the place that you come to. It was Jamie before, he said, we're not just here to sit, we're a fellowship, and we share. And each one of us helps us grow. It's not just about the guy at the front, it's about everyone. There's a ministry for every single person here to bear fruit. But here's something that may stop you bearing fruit. Believe it or not, these tomato plants, which you can see, were all planted at the same time. Okay? That one planted at the same time as this one. Now we know that one's rubbish, it's got no roots. But what is wrong with this one? Well, the answer is, say that loudly, Jenny. It's pot bound. It's pot bound. It needs to move on. Okay? And sometimes We need to move on from different things. We need to move on from bitterness. We need to move on from guilt. We need to move on from maybe our own narrow way of looking at things. We need to move on at thinking, I'm comfortable here. I don't need to change anything or do anything different anymore. I know everything. We need to move on. We need to move on from unforgiveness. We need to move on. If you don't move on, you won't develop. You'll be pot bound. Look at the difference. This one has been moved on. This one didn't move on. You won't grow if you don't move on. Okay? And there's a bit in Jeremiah that kind of works on this as well. It's Jeremiah 3:15. It says, break up your unplowed ground. Sometimes there are habits of action and habits of thought that are similar to somebody walking a path through grassland and gradually treading down a path, or going over ploughed land and you tread down constantly because you're doing the same thing, the same habit that you shouldn't be doing, the same thoughts that you shouldn't be having, the same way of doing things that keeps you pot bound. And you need to break that up. You need to break that up through prayer. You need to break it up maybe by going to someone else and asking for help. You need to break that up by being close to Jesus, by renewing your relationship with him, by immersing yourself in him. Don't forget the glorious riches that God has for you. Break up your unplowed ground. Move on. Move on. You might need help, but please move on, or you'll never grow to be like this and bear fruit. You need to move on. And one of the things that I know I ought to say, it is a very simple one. At the beginning of Colossians, it says, as you received Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say here, when I think about the glorious riches and that amazing width of love that God has got, when I think of everything that God has got for us, I think how sad it is that people miss out. That there are people just missing out on it because they haven't received Jesus in the first place. They haven't even been planted yet. I'm going to say to you, get planted. Start growing those roots. And if you're not sure about that, I'm going to pray at the end, but come and see Jamie or me or Elaine or anybody. There's loads of people here who know Jesus. And they'll talk with you about what it is and how you can receive Jesus into your life. I'm going to finish by saying this. I love looking at my garden. I really love looking at my garden, especially at the moment, because things have grown well. I did the planting, and I did all the things that I should. But in the end, if you're a gardener, you know this. You put the stuff in, and you do what you should do, and then there's nothing else you can do. Because you just have to wait and see what happens. And it either grows or it doesn't grow. You know, you just can't tell. Slugs come and get it. I hate slugs. But, you know, all sorts of things happen. But in the end, it's not you that does it. And I'm going to read from Ephesians 3:20, that part that I've read before. And it's this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. And that's what it feels like when I look at my garden sometimes, and I see the plants and the flowers, and I see the trees in the park behind and the grass, and I think, isn't God great doing all that? But he does that in us as well. He grows that in us. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is in work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He is the greatest, isn't he? He is amazing. Let's get immersed totally in Christ. Let's put our roots in him. Let's grow. And that fruit we're bearing isn't just for us or our community, it's for him as well. And I believe that when we bear that fruit, if I can say this, there's a huge smile on his face, because that's what he loves. Because he loves us and he loves being with us. And the more we can be with him, the more he likes it. I so love when Lottie comes and gives me a hug, my grandchild, my little granddaughter comes and gives me a hug. And that's what God loves as well, I'm sure. He loves it when we give him that hug of love. And she will be hugging me off the ground soon. But yeah, so I'm going to pray. Father God, help each person here to have their roots deep in you, to be immersed in Jesus. Father God, may each one of us know that love that surpasses knowledge, to find out how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is. And may we move on where we need to move on. If there's something in our lives that holds us back, help us, Father God, to move on. Whoever that is here this morning, Lord, I pray that in their lives you will move them on, that you will be doing that work now, so that they may have the full joy of knowing you, that their roots will grow ever deeper. And Father God, I pray that if there's anybody here who hasn't received you yet, who hasn't been planted in you yet, I pray, Lord, that this morning you would touch them and that you lead them to yourself. Lord, I thank you so much for all you are and all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.